Last week of the year, and still we don't have this down the first time. All right, try it one more time. Howdy! There we go. All right. We are so pumped and so excited for everyone that's coming here. Okay, let's see. The room is filled. We're ready to rock and roll. And guess what? It is week 8 of Encounter. Who's excited? I am. I'm telling you, we have, even as a student, I can't imagine some of the things that you guys and gals have been able to conquer and overcome. But even us as serving and as table hosts and the people in the background from sound to support and whatnot for helping get the snacks, you know, we just, even this evening, we're sharing all the things that God has delivered above and beyond through these 8 weeks. And over again, it was, this class was a part of it. This team was a part of it. My table was a part of this. This couldn't have happened any other way. And God gets all the glory for that, right? And it couldn't have been possible without him and everyone that's here, right? And that's something to be, it's special. And we give him all the praise and glory for it. So anyway, real quick, administrative stuff to go over. Real fast, a recap, and not going to hash through it a lot. Key dates to remember, November 10th, if you're going to the retreat, November 10th is D-Day, if you will. So D-Day being drop it by the office. If you got a check or something, make sure and have it with an envelope. If you don't pay tonight, if you want to pay it later, by November 10th, you put in an envelope and say Whitney Lindsay. Or, yeah, that, yeah. In case anyone didn't know, the crazy person in the back, that's Whitney, yeah. So make sure and do that. Days, November 12th to the 14th, again, it starts, and we'll talk about a little bit of this again later on this evening. 6 o'clock p.m. that Thursday, closing out 12 o'clock on Saturday. Covers registration, lodging, meals, fun, the time of your life, the experience of your life, and even more that is yet to come for you and your spiritual journey. So don't miss it, if at all possible. One thing I did want to do, as I'm calling him up, I think it's important to have this gentleman come up. Come on, let's get up here, man. Yeah, give him a big hand. Give Ben Watson a big hand. I've known this guy since what? I was about this big, I think, something like that. Yeah. Wait, I'm not that old. You might be. But no, I've known Ben Watson for many, many, many years. And this guy is, in my book, a godfather of the faith. He has time and time again just helped me through obstacles and spiritual journey. He's prayed with me both in this class and at the retreat, and has just a godfather of the faith. That's the best way to put it. And I think it's very important for him to share his experience within this class, both as a student and as a table host, and what happened with him at the retreat. So give him another big hand as he gives his testimony.
Thank you, Zane. I've only got 3 hours and 20 minutes, so I'm going to try to make this quick. And the boos you heard were my two boys are in Encounter, so I appreciate that very much. You're going to need gas money, Jacob. Just remember that. So... This is actually a little difficult for me, and when you hear my story, and I've got to go quick, I've only got a few minutes. Those that are going to the retreat and we have some time or around church, Blake, who's at my table, he's on his way. We had lunch today. I'd like to share my story from the Encounter retreat last year. And so it's the reason it's difficult for me is you're going to hear in my story is I was in ministry at a very early age, and a lot of folks don't know that. I was a youth pastor at 18. My wife and I worked with teens for about 15 years. And without going into any details, I basically just really got tired of church boards and people answering to and being paid from the church and the church paying me to do this and that. I wanted to do it the way I wanted to do it, and so I just said, forget it. In a nutshell, that's really what happened. But over time in my life, knowing what the Lord wanted me to do and knowing how to live my life, I tried to do it the best I could, but there were a lot of bumps along the road that I don't have time to go into tonight. But a couple of verses I want to share with you. We don't have time to look these up, but In James chapter 1, verse 2, it talks about, and James is my favorite because, you know, I'm pretty much ADD, so it's real easy to understand James. So if you have a hard time understanding, go to James. It's easy. And he says to consider it joy when trials come. I'm going to talk about that in just a second. And then James chapter 1, verse 22 through 25, this is what I really have adopted. Don't merely listen to the word. Do what it says. It's pretty simple. And so my story basically is I attended my wife and I, Connie, which most of you know Connie. She's the saint in the family. If you don't know her and get to know her, you'll find that out. But we went a half a semester and had too much going on and said, we'll do it later. The next semester, I came in as a student and went through the whole deal, and I didn't go to the retreat. The next semester, I came in as a table host, and because of work and a national sales meeting, I couldn't go to the retreat. Last fall, I came in as a table host, and I wasn't going to miss the retreat. And I'm telling you, the 8 weeks leading up to it, hear me, did change me. So those of you that are in here that for whatever reason, just you've exhausted everything and it doesn't work, these 8 weeks have not been a waste of your time. And just because you're not able to make it, which is the best part to me, it's okay. We have that retreat every semester, and I would encourage you to go to that if you can't, okay? But these 8 weeks are very important, and you should, you know, give yourself credit for that. But what happened was, I've got to go quick here. I'm in my 50s, and I'm going for my table, and I'm going who I think is definitely got a calling, as you know, with Justin. He's just, you know, I'm way older than him, but he's such a mentor to me. I said, I'm going because he tells me I need to be there, and I've trusted him on everything else. So I go to help my table, and I go to be an encourager, and two of the guys that were at my table are right up front hosting a table. And so as I'm going through this retreat, I had no idea that I would have the opportunity to pray with someone who has been in the class for 8 weeks to receive the Lord as their personal Savior for their first time. And it happened. The second thing was I got to pray with another guy who wanted to rededicate his life. And I'm talking tears, snot, just laying it all out there. And I'm like, well, I didn't realize that we would have people going to the retreat that didn't know the Lord. There are some of you in here tonight that were like I was. You're doing all the right things. You're saying all the right things. You're here for this 8 weeks, and everything's good. But when it gets down to where the 2x4s and the sand get put before you pour the concrete into that foundation, that commitment just really hadn't been there. And you really probably need to rededicate. That's what one of these folks did. So I'm sitting there. I had the privilege to do that. You just kind of know as a table host when somebody needs to be prayed for, because I'll tell you, it's nothing worse than somebody having a private moment and being there with just them and the Lord, and somebody come up and wham, slap them on the back, and how can I pray for you? So we're real sensitive to that. We try to let the Holy Spirit guide us if we need to pray for somebody or not. So I was able to pray with these guys. But what that did was, yeah, they accepted him, but boy, the Holy Spirit got a hold of me. And said, what are you? You're praying for them to receive me. And all these years you've been sitting on your pew. You give your tithe. You'll go to a church camp. You'll help people. But here's what happened. You remember the verses I read at the beginning. Consider it joy when trials come. I don't even want to read that verse because I don't want any trials. I want everything to be easy. I don't like problems. So it became real easy for me to justify, well, I did all that years ago. I spoke to hundreds of people. I spoke to thousands of kids. I was in front of everybody. I got all kind of awards and accolades and packed on the back. I don't want that anymore, Lord. I just want to be quiet, and I want to be on the back, and I just want to do my thing behind the scenes. But the Lord was telling me, and Justin knows this, I have more for you. I don't want you on the back. And I'm like, well, that's okay. I want to be on the back. But we just had this little debate back and forth. And so when I began to go through that, and it came back to me, you either listen to the word and do what it says, or you don't, Ben. This is not rocket science. Okay, the Holy Spirit is convicting, and I'm telling you, okay, And hear me now. You're not all that. You have not arrived. You are not Mr. I'm doing the right things. And in my job, I'm responsible for hundreds of people. You know, $400 and $500 million worth of sales. The Lord has blessed me with a career, and I'm able to share the word and be an example. And they know that. They know how I feel. And that's all good. That feels good. But that's not what he called me to do. He called me to be bold. He called me, and this is what happened to me. And I'm sorry I went too long here, Justin. He called me to get up and invest in people. And if that means lead a group of five or lead a group of 1,000, because here's the thing. The reason I don't want to be up here tonight and the reason I didn't want to do that is I know what's coming tomorrow when I'm claiming the blood over a whole lot of people. Satan's going to come after me. But it wasn't until the retreat that this 50-something-year-old guy realized the blood is so much more powerful than the Satan coming after you in a trial. What are you doing? And when I realized that the blood was over me, I bowed my chest out and said, whatever. And here's the thing. I had a big fish fry at our deer lease, and I had to leave Friday night. Well, I didn't leave Friday night. I'm going to leave at daylight Saturday morning. Well, after Friday night service, I'm not leaving Saturday morning. I got to the deer lease when I got to the deer lease. It's that powerful. And I'm going to close with this. If you're here tonight and you've heard week after week about the retreat and how important it is, if you're here tonight and there's still maybe a small glimpse of hope that you can go, but it just might be that you don't want to tell anybody, you're embarrassed that it's money. Tell your table host tonight, number one. Number two, Satan is going to do everything he can, like he did to me 3 semesters prior, to tell you it's just not going to work out, you can't go. What I'm telling you is, hear me now, been in church a long time. If you want a life-changing experience, here's what you do. You say, no matter what I'm going, the kids are at home, they're with mother-in-law, they're with a babysitter, whatever. I'm away from work. When you pull in that gravel road and you back your vehicle in and have your luggage unloaded, that is your time between then and noon Saturday for just you and the Lord to have a divine appointment. And if you get out of your vehicle, walk into that front to say, this is my time for whatever the Lord's going to do in my life. The guarantee that I have is you're going to come back changed and you're going to make a difference, and it'll be the best decision you ever made. I'm here to tell you, since last year, I think my family can attest to the fact that God did a work in me. I don't want to get up and do like this and look at me. That's not what this is about. But the Holy Spirit is real. This retreat is real. It's not a fab. It's not a feel good and then you leave. It's a feel good and now you're moving out to cultivate the field. And the reason these so many table hosts are here, this is semester after semester after semester of God doing a divine work in folks. And I'm going to close with this. This started several years ago. Justin and Whitney Lindsay are on staff here at our church. People's lives have been changed. So I'm going to say a quick prayer for you, and here's what we're going to pray. If you're going, we're praying that you're going expecting something to happen. If you're on the fence of not going, I'm praying that God will change that between now and the deadline for you to go. And if you've just done everything you've tried to do but you just can't make it, I'm praying that you'll use these 8 weeks that what God gave you to keep going in the field. So pray with me real quick. Father, we're so thankful for these 8 weeks, and we're thankful, God. We're expecting a blessing in 2 weeks. We're expecting, God, for you to change things like you've done in so many lives and like you did in mine, not to fear the trials, but to do what your word says. And God, we're going to give that to you. We've already been praying, and we're excited. And Lord, I pray for those who are on the fence. They're going to leave here tonight feeling good, thinking maybe this can work. And by Wednesday, they're going to say, well, it can't. God, I pray for you to intercede right now to open that up and let them know it's not about money. It's not about time. It's going to work. They can go. Help them to go, Lord. And for those that just can't, Father, I pray you'll continue to bless them and help them to see what they've done this 8 weeks is to just to try to get right and to serve you. And we praise you for that. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
Thanks, Ben. That was awesome. It was awesome. So as Ben kind of mentioned, real quick, another small tidbit administrative to talk about. This teaching tonight is going to be a little bit different in that the teaching we're going to push through up until about 7:15, 7:20-ish, and then we're going to go through a break, and then the second half, if you will, of the evening is going to be spent for those that are going to the retreat or have already paid in the retreat, or maybe you hadn't paid, but you still know you're going to pay up. It's going to be talking about, you know, some of the details, some of the, you know, travel, lodging, what to bring, what not to bring, what's going to be covered, et cetera, right? So if you're going to the retreat, absolutely be sure that you stick around. If you're not going to the retreat, or let me take a step back. If you think you might, right, there's a small chance, not sure, stick around anyway, okay? Just go ahead and stick around. If you know without a shadow of a doubt, I know I talked to a young lady a little bit ago. She's having neck surgery on November 11th. So it's like, okay, why don't you bring the doctor over to the retreat too? And get no. It's like, okay, I get it, right? And so if you know for certain that you're not going to be going, then you can step out during the break time, make sure to chat with your table host, et cetera, right? So make sure, key point is, for the next hour, lean in, because this is the last teaching there is, right? And me personally, I'm going to share this with you. This is my favorite teaching out of the whole. I mean, all the teachings are awesome. Justin's done a great job. But this is my favorite. And the reason why it's my favorite is because this teaching talks about, you know, a lot of the previous weeks are talking about kind of like corrective actions, right? It's like now you kind of know what some of the issues are that have been going on in your life, and you're talking about straightening things out, talking about alignment, some of the generational hand-me-downs, a stronghold. So it's understanding what those problems are and what you need to do to right that ship, right? Now we're talking about kind of preventative actions, protection. Like, what are some things when you see something coming at you and you're getting battled spiritually, and you say, hey, I know exactly what's going on here, and then you can make those right decisions, right? That's where, to me, this is stuff that, man, I can apply, like, tonight with some things, right? So make sure, again, next hour, lean in close. This is it. And without further ado, I'm going to hand it over to my man, Justin Lindsay. Give him a hand.
Oh. There we go. Well, I can't believe, I really can't, it's week 8. Has it not flown by? Has it not flown by? Well, before I get into this, I know they all heard about the retreat. And I think I'm supposed to share this after it, but, you know, I always rearrange things. That's why my wife stays so aggravated. But listen, if you're sitting in here tonight, because I've been exactly where you're at. If you're sitting in here tonight, and the one thing that's keeping you away from going to this retreat is finances, I don't want you to tell nobody, okay? You don't have to share. Because listen, I understand, because the enemy will say, it's kind of embarrassing. Or whatever he may say, I want you to know that there's people in this church that believe in this process so much, that believe in what happens. It's not what happens at the retreat. It's not the actions. It is what happens from this 8 weeks paired with the retreat, and it's just something unique when you separate yourself from the everyday hectic life and connect with God. There's nothing crazy about the retreat. We're not going to talk you into drinking some crazy Kool-Aid, okay? It's nothing like that. But if money is the thing keeping you from experiencing God in a unique way on that weekend, I ask you to stay after. And here's why. This is the first time I've ever shared this information, but I'm going to tell you, because there's some of you in here tonight that are hanging on because of money, but you're just scared to tell someone, is we have scholarships. We have people in this church that anonymously give us money. We don't know where it comes from. That says, I believe in this process so much because of what it did for my life, that I want to invest and change someone else's life. And listen, that's why we say we don't do life alone. Do not walk in this life alone, okay? I promise you, If it wasn't for people helping me and my family, I wouldn't be here. Do not allow the lie of the enemy to say that's embarrassing, or that's not for you, or that should be for somebody else, or you don't deserve it. That's a lie. If people didn't believe, they wouldn't invest. So if you're on that road tonight and it's a finance thing, I want you to stay, and then you see us after class, okay? Is that a deal? Deal?
Yeah.
Come on. I've yelled at y'all all semester. You can yell back at least once. I'm fixing to read something, and I know I'm going over. I know I'm honest. I'm on some crazy time frame, but whatever. There's a student in here, and I'm not going to say who it is, who brought this to me today. And when I read it, God said, you have to share this. Now listen, I know this individual's story. And when I tell you this individual has experienced hell on earth, this individual has experienced hell on earth. Hear what I'm saying. I know her story. I know what she's dealt with. And I'm going to tell you something. For her to put these words on paper, this right here is living proof that God is moving in his children. He is alive and he is well. And the same spirit that lived in Jesus and raised him from the dead is the same spirit that is reviving and changing and renewing our life. So I want you to hear this. It said, I've hid behind these mortared walls until God came. Crumbled, they would fall. Exposing my heart for you to see, beyond the brokenness, there's beauty. For so many years, my worth I struggled to prove. Then the Holy Spirit came and began to move, peeling off the layers of pain, the layers of doubt, the layers of shame. Peeling of all untruth spoken over me, allowing me to see to God I am worthy. To my Father in the heavens above, I am blessed and unconditionally I am loved. I am forgiven, I have been set free, I am redeemed, and I am beauty. But more importantly, no matter what others think, I am worthy. Amen. Amen. Come on, somebody. If you knew the depravity from which this come from, when I'm talking about beauty from ashes, listen to me, guys. If there's a doubt in your mind tonight that Jesus Christ is not in the healing business, he's not in the restoring business, he's not in the victorious business, I promise you, if you heard her story, it would break you. You know what it did to Jesus? It gave her a platform for his glory. So whatever lie you're hanging on to tonight, whatever junk is in your life saying, I just can't, you can. You can. And it's not because she's strong. It's not because she's special. It's not because she was designed different. It's because she got to a place in life where she said, all right, God, let me see what you could do. I know, no doubt in my mind that conversation's been had. And to see the true beauty from ashes, this right here gives me a renewed hope that God has just begun in my life. I want you to know that what we're fixing to talk about tonight, that the armor of God and our authority, we need to understand where it comes from. Because the God that did this, there is no other source. There's no amount of money that could have wrote this. There's no amount of success or fame that could have healed this. But I'm going to tell you what, the fact that Jesus Christ did what he did in this situation makes me fall more in love with Jesus today more than I ever have in my entire life. Somebody ought to get excited about that. Come on, class. Amen. Amen. That needs to be published. You need to get that published. People need to hear that story. That's a whole other thing. Let me make sure my phone's off. I'm sorry, guys. I'm not very organized. So tonight, guys, we're talking about spiritual warfare. If you look at your title, it says spiritual warfare. I have looked and I have dealt with spiritual warfare my whole life. It has been something that has been the essence of me. I was telling some of my teammates a while ago, I'm not like Ben. Ben said, I don't want no troubles in my life. You can ask my wife, it drives her crazy. I strive in it. I don't know why. Maybe God just made me kind of crazy. I don't know. Amen. But I was built to battle. But I want to apologize for anybody who's ever heard me teach this. And this is why. I've always taught the armor of God as this armor we put on to go into battle. And I was wrong. Is it for the battle that rages? Absolutely. But see, God's bigger than that. God did not create this armor. Why are we even talking about armor in the Bible? God didn't put this in there so he could say, let me gear up and gird up my little warrior and send you out. No. Why would God need to gird up his warriors and send us out if he's already victorious? Come on, somebody. So I've been teaching people. It's not that I'm teaching them wrong, but with the wrong perception that, hey, when you put this breastplate of righteousness, the sandals of peace, the helmet of salvation, and we strap on the belt of truth, and we grab the shield of faith, and we walk around with the sword of the Spirit, when I begin to tell people that, I'm trying to get people to look at it from a warrior mentality. God calls himself Jehovah Rapha. That's God healer. No, it's not Nisi. I'm sorry, I lost it. But it's God warrior. He calls himself. He's the commander of the armies. He calls himself the commander. Well, God doesn't need us to go out and be these little warriors when he's already won the battle, right? So this is what I want y'all to look at tonight. The armor of God, this ought to get you excited, because when I seen this, I was like, oh, this gives me a whole new perception. It's for our protection. God said, hang on. He said, you're my son. I didn't build you to be a little army soldier. He said, you have the inheritance and the access to the kingdom of God. I've already won the battle. But it's victorious. But in this process of spreading my gospel, in this process of gathering all of my children and walking in this thing we call life victoriously, I love you so much, I want you to walk protected. Now that right there changed our perspective of how we walk. Because just to be honest, some of you in here aren't ready to wake up and throw on a breastplate and say, all right, enemy, what do you got for me today? You're not to that place yet. But every single one of us, every one of us are sitting in here tonight saying, God, protect me. I need your protection. So as we walk through this, I want you to look at this as something that is protective. Okay? So let's look at this. I'm going to read this first scripture. Ephesians 6:10 through 17, it says, finally be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. That right there proves everything I'm saying. Be strong in the Lord. It didn't say go out there and fight for the Lord. It says be strong in the Lord and his power. It says do this. Put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Therefore, put on the full armor of God, so that when the day of evil comes, you may be able to stand your ground. And after you have done everything to stand, stand firm then, with the belt of truth buckled around your waist and the breastplate of righteousness in place, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one. Take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the God's word. That right there, guys, when you wake up in the morning and you say, God, how do I pray protection over my family? Right there. Ephesians, what we're fishing to talk about, spiritual warfare. It doesn't say spiritual attack. It's warfare. And we're fishing to walk through this, and this is my favorite teaching in this whole thing. Some fast facts real quick on the armor of God. We're going to go through these real quick because I want to dig into the pieces. There are six separate pieces of armor of God that God provides us as spiritual protection from the enemy. I love that. For protection from the enemy. Number two, we are instructed to put it on daily. There's action in it. We have a responsibility in it. We're going to look at that here in just a little bit. It says the armor was created and made available to us by God. It's available to us by God. And then it says every part of the armor and every tool is strategic and needed to resist and defeat the enemy. So when we go through this, you can't say, you know what, I'm okay with that breastplate of righteousness, but that whole belt of truth thing, I don't think I'm going to hang on to that one. You can pick and choose what parts you want to put on, but when you get a spear or a dart through that area, don't get surprised. All right? They're all strategic, and God has them perfectly planned out, and they're all connected. And I'm going to show you how they connect and create this protective body armor. Number one is the belt of truth. The belt of truth. Stand therefore having fastening on the belt of truth. It says we use the belt of truth to stabilize everything by keeping everything in its proper order. I'm a big old boy. I wear a belt every day. If I don't, there's a good chance. I mean, if I don't do this the whole time, I got to cinch my belt up. It holds everything in place because if not, my pants are going to fall down. I know I've done it. So I wear a belt everywhere. But when you're looking at a Roman soldier's army, he had his belt and everything tied to the belt. All the way his sandals laced up, and we'll talk about it, tied to the belt. Everything tied to the belt. And he's saying, put on the belt of truth. Why do we need to wear a belt of truth? Why do we need to operate in truth? And listen, side note. Somebody needs to hear this. Half-truths are lies. Quit accepting half-truths. If it doesn't run through this and line up with God's word, it is a lie. Period. Half-truths are lies. We're looking for absolute truths. The word of God is the absolute truth. Here's why. This is why we need it. It says, John 8:44 says, "For you are the children of your father, the devil, and you love to do the evil things he does. He was a murderer from the beginning. He has always hated the truth because there is no truth in him. When he lies, it is consistent with his character. For he is a liar and he is the father of lies." So if our enemy is Satan and there is no truth in him, that means when he speaks, it is a lie. When we believe that lie and when we accept that lie, and we operate in that lie, we are rebuttaling the word of God. We are loosening our belt. We are allowing things to hang down that it's not supposed to be. We've lost some structure. So that's the reason why the word of God is our compass. That's the reason why that crazy little thing you call your conscience, that's the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is redirecting you to the truth because we have to run everything through the belt of truth. My wife says this, is it kingdom thinking or is it stinking thinking? If it's not kingdom thinking, well, how do I know it's kingdom thinking? Run it through the belt of truth. Well, how do I run it through the belt of truth? What does the word of God say about it? So some of you young guys, well, I know I'm not married to her, but we love each other, so why not? I mean, ask the word of God what it says. Go back to what Zane said earlier about his health. The enemy told him for a long time it was okay. God says, what does the word say about your body? What does the word say about the temple? Okay? Husbands, wives, you're looking at your marriage saying, I know they really haven't done that much. I'm just tired of this one. And you know what? God's grace is sufficient. It's going to be okay. He'll restore me on the backside of this thing. I'm not saying that God's grace isn't sufficient, but that's a lie from the enemy, because that ain't what God wants for your marriage. Go and seek what the Word of God says. The truth, every truth that you need, this unchanging Word, if you run it through this, this is running it through the belt of truth. And when you do that, it brings clarity to a muddy thought. And officially, we're going to get to how we operate against muddy thoughts. Let's look at the second piece. The second piece is the breastplate of righteousness. And it says, and having put on righteousness. Listen, guys, this is a daily action. Everything we're talking about, this isn't something that you're putting on right now and you're going to continue to wear. This is something you have to be willing to put on every day. Every day. Righteousness, listen, it's basically acting like Jesus. It is the quality of being moral, being righteously and justified in your actions based off of God's standard. It is being like Jesus. That's what righteousness is. Righteousness, nobody, not one, will ever be completely righteous except for Christ. But he does say to strive in perfection. And when we pick that breastplate of righteousness up and we put it on and it's tied to the belt of truth, and you'll see as we begin to build this armor, as I run things through the belt of truth, it gives me clarity of how to live righteous. You see how that works? So now I'm living this righteousness, and what does a breastplate do? What does a breastplate cover? The vital organs inside. The heart, the kidney, the liver, the pancreas, the whatever. Whatever it is that we have, it covered all of their vital organs. It covered our lifeline. Righteous living, guys, when you begin to live righteous and when you begin to live like Christ, it begins to bring clarity in everything that you do. Okay, and I want to say this. Some of your social groups is destroying your righteousness. Some of the groups, some of the influences that some of you allow in your life in here, it's destroying your righteousness. How is that? They're just my friend. What are they pouring into you? I'm not saying to up and jump ship, but be very careful of who you allow to influence you. Your social group, it will influence your righteousness. Okay? And God's, listen, is protecting the heart, the very life source, the very thing that pumps blood to our extremities and keeps us going. It's the very foundation of our life. And God's saying, righteous, acting like me, living like Christ through these different things will protect you. Some of the things that you're battling comes from unrighteous living. How do we redirect the effects of unrighteous living? Is begin to live righteous. Now, you want to talk about being a warrior, go live like Christ does every day in this society. College students, where you at? SFA? Come on now, you know what I'm talking about. Go be different on that campus. Go be different. Walk onto that campus, and probably one of the most ununified ways of thinking is in college campuses, because there's so many different people in one small area. And go on there and say, you know what? I'm not worried about this. I'm not worried about this political stance or this political stance or about this. My view and what I'm seeking and what I want to line up with is the Word of God. You want to make a difference? At Stephen F. Austin and at Angelina College, go live for Jesus. It's desperately needed. You have an extreme opportunity, guys, to live for Jesus in a society, in an environment, in a social group that is desperate for it. Why not you? Why not you? Breastplate of righteousness. I'd be fair to say, that some of you students in here need this more than we do. Not that we don't need the protection of God on us, but what y'all deal with are things that we can't begin to understand. Y'all battle things that we can't comprehend, that human words cannot give you the answer to. And if you're not walking in to these places that y'all go into, okay, without the protection of God, it could annihilate your thought process. It could annihilate your heart. God wants you to walk in protected. Number three, the sandals of peace. Ephesians 6 and 15 says this. God showed this to me this morning. It says, I have taught this for 6 years now, 5 years, whatever it is. I've taught this session every time. And God showed this to me. And man, this to me is so simple but so powerful. It says, and as shoes for your feet, having put on, listen to me, the readiness given by the gospel of peace. What is the root word of readiness? Read. Given by the gospel. What does gospel mean? Good news. So, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace, is basically saying, well, where does peace come from? It's given by reading the gospel. Whew. Where does peace come from? I'm not talking about the Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. The gospel, every bit of this thing is good news. From the beginning to end, it's good news. This is the book of good news. And so by reading the gospel of peace, of the good news, reading the good news, we get to shod our feet with the sandals of peace. Well, there's something really unique about the sandals when you look at a Roman soldier's outfit. They were called caligas. And what they would do is they would actually drive nails and spikes through the soles of the sandals. Why do you think they would do that? Why do you think that they had spikes on the sandals? For what? For traction? Hold them in place. The five pieces of armor we're talking about, guys, are defensive. Okay? So we've sucked up this belt of truth. We've hung on this breastplate of righteousness, right? Now it's saying to gird up your to gird up the sandals of peace, these caligas, and we're digging in these spikes in the ground. So when the attack of the enemy comes, we can resist it. It didn't say so we could run faster. Okay? It didn't say so we could do more. Because we're victorious, remember? It's so we can dig our feet in the ground and get down and get gritty and get tough and say, okay, God, I'm protected. My head's protected. My chest is protected. We're fixing to talk about the shield of faith. I've got my belt of truth on. I've got my breastplate of righteousness. And I'm dug into the ground of Jesus Christ. I'm dug into your world. I am dug into your word, Jesus. I'm dug into your promise. I'm dug into your hope. I'm dug into your peace. I'm dug into your strength and your purpose and your plan for my life and my family's life, for my ministry, for my testimony, for my finances. I'm dug in. So come on, enemy. I'm protected because of what my Father did. I'm protected. Your feet are dug into the ground. You got a firm base. I used to play football all the time. And even as a big old boy, I was hard to knock off my feet because I had a really wide base. But if I ever got like this, it's easy. But when I got dug in the ground and got low, I was tough to get on the ground. And it's because I had a big foundation. Imagine the foundation God's talking about is peace. We're digging in. And we're walking through these valleys. What valley are you walking through tonight? And we're walking through this valley. All right? And God says, I want you to thrive and gain traction in the midst of a storm. God, how do I do that? How do I move forward? I don't need you to move forward. I'm in control of the storm. I just need you to dig in and trust me. That's how we thrive in the storm. The enemy wants us to give up. The enemy wants us to say, I can't do this. I don't have the ability. I'm not strong enough. I don't have the tools or the weaponry to do this. And God says, I don't need you to win. We've already done it. I just want you to dig in and you show the enemy through your righteousness and truth who you're going to stand still and serve. That's what the sandals of peace do for us. We're dug in, guys. When those acid words are spewed over our life, you're unworthy, all right? Somebody in our, we went through a deal giving praise in our deal for our leaders tonight, and one said, you know what I want to praise God for in these 8 weeks? God showed me that I had worth as a leader. God's moving in this team too. You know what that person did? They walked in here week one not thinking they were worthy as a leader. You know what they did? They dug their feet in. Said, all right, God, I'm going to stand right here. And the victory that God has brought upon this sister or brother that's searching out for this victory, for God to show up in something, she didn't do nothing. She didn't move forward because God already destined and determined her to be a great leader. She just had to weather the storm of the lies of the enemy saying, you'll never do this. And she weathered the storm and she was victorious because she was able to say, you know what, praise God for what he showed me. That is victory in a storm. That's victory in a storm. You may come out bumped and bruised. You may come out on the other side of a storm a little tired. That's okay. That's expected. But the great thing is we're building this spiritual, unbreakable bubble around our life called the armor of God. And all we're doing is we are battling through this storm and we get to say, you know what, I'm protected. Come take my house, I'm protected. My baby's sick, we're protected. I can't pay that bill, God, but I'm faithful with my finances, I'm protected. My husband, can't get him involved in church, I'm protected. My friend just don't, I can't get my roommate to quiet. Understand this thing about God, and they're questioning me and they're calling me a hypocrite and they're saying all of these things. God, I'm protected. I'm protected. Does anybody in here, just raise your hand, does anybody in here need to be protected tonight? Come on, class. I'm protected. Not by what I've done, but what I get to put on because of what he's done. God, I need your peace tonight. I need to be able to dig my cleats in to the bad news of a doctor and say, even if, and I need to dig my feet in to the potential of something going on in one of my kids' life and say, God, even if, and we get to walk in this peace in the middle of the storm. And can you imagine what it does to the enemy when he's knocking on your door and he's trying to blow your house down and you've got your feet dug in and you're praising God and you're walking in righteousness and you're living and operating in truth? Can you imagine what it does to the enemy? It makes him turn and flee because he sees the covering of righteousness. He sees the peace in the middle of your storm, and it scares him because he's like, whoa, wait a minute. Why aren't they wailing and crying out to God, woe is me, and they're putting on the garment of praise in the middle of this hell they're walking through? Who is this person? I'm a son of the Most High God, and we're staying right here, just like Pastor Jeremy talks about. We're staying right here. That's what peace does. That's what the sandals of peace is. I study them as I look at them. All right. Number one, I'd have to have sandals on because there's no way I'd get my feet in the dirt back there back then. Because I can't do that. I will not allow my feet to get dirty. I'd have to have socks and sandals. But as you strap them on in the morning and you feel the foundation and then you sense that belt up, And you're like, you sense that belt up and you're like, the truth of the God is I am perfectly and wonderfully made. God started something and he's going to see it finished. These are truths that we need to, and then I get to hang this breastplate of righteousness on And I'm fixing to walk out into my place of work or into my family, and I'm going to be like Jesus no matter what someone else says. You see this warrior mentality and this armor we're beginning to hang on ourselves and on our lives. Are y'all tracking with me tonight, Encounter? Come on. See, the definition of peace is freedom from disturbance of war, quiet and tranquil. See, it's a part of the fruit of the Spirit. And the thing we're talking about doing is this daily action. What did we talk about week 3? Walking into what? Walking in the Spirit? Walking in the Spirit? Right? Y'all can talk back. As you see this action we're talking about fruits of the Spirit. All right, so as we walk in the Spirit, why not walk in the Spirit protected, huh? That's what I want to do. I want to walk in this battle protected. The fourth piece, Whitney, Amy, y'all start making your way up here, please. The fourth piece is the shield of faith. 6 and 16 from Ephesians says, in all circumstances, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all flaming darts of the evil one. The definition of faith is very important here. It is complete trust or confidence in someone or something not seen. Belief beyond proof, trust or confidence in what we cannot see. Okay? So we are picking up a shield of faith. So as of right now, we are standing here, we've got out of our bed, and we have tied up our sandals of peace. We have sucked down the belt of truth. We have hung on the breastplate of righteousness. And now we're fixing to walk. Big Wheel, come here. We're fixing to walk out into this world. We're fixing to walk out into our daily lives. All right? One of the things that the Roman soldiers did, and I want you to paint this picture, is imagine holding the shield. And I'm a big old boy. It's not like they had customized shields back then. I'm pretty sure it was one size fit all. And imagine me flipping down and holding a shield up from fiery darts, right? There's going to be some of me hanging out. There's a good chance I'm going to get glanced. Seriously. But what they would do is they would begin to lock their shields and create a canopy over the army. Okay, and as the enemy began to shoot fiery darts, it couldn't penetrate it because they were overlapping. There were strength in numbers. Come right here, Big Will. No, stand in front of me. All right, now just push me a little bit. Push me. Well, strong. Come here. Now I want to show y'all something. I want to show you something. See, when I'm standing alone, okay? When I'm standing alone in the middle of a battle, I'm more susceptible to be pushed around by the enemy. Now give me a little nudge. You can go sit down. You can go sit down. Yes, good. Thank you. No, just stay close. You see the power? When I call my wife and say, baby, I'm struggling with this. Will you pray with me? Amy, see me. Come here. It's one of my best friends right here. Zane, Danae, come up here. Quickly. Over here, Amy. Come here. Lock arms. Zane, Danae, y'all come on. Hey, sister, I'm battling something in my life, and I can't walk through this thing alone. Will you pray for me? Big Will, come up here. Zane, Danae, Encounter leaders. Family, I'm battling for my daughter. I don't know what the doctor's going to say about her ears. Will y'all pray with us? Now push us. Now you can sit down. Encounter team, let's go. I'm finna show y'all something. Tyler, come on. One phone call. Now, you think this is a little stout of me standing up here by myself? This is one phone call, guys. I'm one group me text away from having this whole team pray for me. Right. Now, somebody sitting out there tonight said, yeah, but I don't have that. That's a lie from the enemy. Because you're one text away from your table host saying, I need you to pray for me and this whole team will battle for you.
Right.
You are not alone. This is how we wage war. This is how we battle. Right here. Big wheel push me down. The enemy will push you around as long as you try to stand on your own two feet. But when you lock arms with a loving spouse, and you lock arms with a sister, and you lock arms with family like Zane and Danae, all right? And then it gets a little heavier and you reach out to the team to the left and to the right of you. And I see some of you in here tonight that I've got good relationships with that I can say, you know what, Jennifer, could you pray for me? James, where are you at? Would you pray for me? Ray, you think you could pray for me tonight? My numbers are growing. This is why we don't do life alone. This is why this church is here. This is what our purpose is to battle. And imagine this church locking arms across this campus, the power it would bring to this community. Imagine, find me, somebody raise their hand right now that needs prayer, that's really bad on somebody. Come up here, sister. James Cougar, come up here right now. Come up here. Somebody else. Come up here. Right here. Stand right here. I'm fixing to show y'all something. Y'all can get on to me about time frames later. Come right here, Christy. Come right here, Sheena. Come right here, James Cougar. Team, y'all come around here. Make your way around here. I'm fixing to show y'all the power in this. You see what we're doing? Y'all get up here and lock arms. This is what the church should look like. This is what it should look like every day in our lives. And listen, every one of you have this with this church. You have this because we have a pastor that believes in prayer. We have a pastor that believes in not doing life alone. We have a pastor that believes in groups and grow tracks and encounter. And we don't do it to run our energy dry. We have a Taylor, come up here, please. We have a Next Steps director in Taylor Brookshire that bust her tail to create wells of water called Encounter, called Grow Track, called Starting Point, called Groups, so we can do this. This is what this is about. This is what this is for. Sheena, one word, what do you want prayer for? Family. James Kluger, what's one word? Family. Christy, one word? Direction. Pray, Taylor, come here. I'm going to get Taylor to pray over y'all because she is a powerful link in what we do. Come here. This is what faith looks like. Because you know what, Sheena? You're not believing for your family no more by yourself. That big brother behind you, he's believing for you. I'm believing for you. Taylor's believing for you. Christy's believing for you. All right? Every person on this team, James, your son, God's got him. You hear me? God knows what you've been through with your daughter. He knows where you've been. And he's going to bring your son and your relationship back to restoration. You hear me? God is not done with y'all yet, but he's starting with you, James Kugler. You need to hear that. Christy, God's got a plan and purpose for your life. There is direction for your life. You hear me? You listen, quit focusing on the left and the right. And put your eyes on the heart and the eyes of Jesus, and he'll give you the direction. You understand me? And this team, and this class, and this church, and this staff believes in you. And I'm going to ask my sister, Taylor, to pray over y'all. Taylor?
I want everyone to pray, not just us up here, but even at the tables. Father God, right now we come before
thank
you on behalf
Jesus.
Of these three individuals.
Yes, you are.
And Lord,
yes,
also if there's anyone at the tables with unspoken
thank
prayer
you,
requests,
Jesus.
God, that are walking through something, God, and they feel
thank
like they're
you,
walking
Lord.
Alone, Lord, I just pray right now, Holy Spirit, your word says
thank
that you,
you
are
Lord.
Ever-present help in a time of need. So God, even when there may not be anyone with us, your Holy
thank
Spirit
you, Lord.
Is there to strengthen and to give comfort
thank
and
you,
encouragement
Jesus.
And direction and clarity. And God, right now, each
yes,
one of these situations
are.
Dealing with family,
thank
God,
you,
we
Jesus.
Just ask for a divine intervention
thank
of your
you,
Holy
Jesus.
Spirit to come and touch each person, God,
thank you,
and
Jesus.
To be with
we
every
receive,
family, God, to
we
be
receive
with
your healing in Jesus'
something
name.
That they can't
we
see,
receive
they
your
don't
healing
understand,
in Jesus'
God.
Name.
They may not be able to
receive
see the, to the other
Jesus
side,
name.
But Jesus, we just
receive
pray that your
direction
peace
in Jesus
and your comfort
name.
And your direction would get them through to where they need to be. God, as long as they keep taking one step at a time with your help, God, we just ask that you would pave the way
Yes, Lord.
We continue to make a way.
Thank
God,
you,
just
Jesus.
Ask for your provision and your protection.
Thank
and your
you, Lord.
Favor over every
Jesus,
person,
Jesus,
God.
Jesus,
Lord, we
Jesus,
just ask, Father,
Jesus,
that you would
Jesus,
continue
Jesus,
to do what only
Jesus,
you can do
Jesus,
in and through
Jesus,
their lives
Jesus,
and their families,
Jesus,
Father.
Jesus.
We just ask that you would continue to show your love to each
Thank
and every
you,
person in this room, God, in a unique and special way
Thank
that
you,
would
Jesus.
Draw them closer to you, God. And whatever they may be dealing with, Father, whatever they may be going through that they don't understand, God, even when they throw hands up and
yes,
say, I don't
Lord.
Get this.
Thank
Holy
you, Jesus.
Spirit, would you
Father.
Be there with them to
yes,
comfort
Lord.
Them,
Thank
God?
You, Jesus.
Because even Jesus in the garden said, take this
Come
cup,
on.
Cup from
yes,
me, God.
Yes, Lord.
But, Lord, you were right there with them, God. And we look at you tonight and we say, Jesus. Thy will be done, Lord.
Yes, Lord.
And we know that you are with Jesus. Us and we know that you are with them and you are working something in them and through them for their good. Jesus. And your word says that you complete the work that you start.
Yes,
so, God, we ask that you would complete Thank the work you, that you've started Jesus. In each person, God, in each person in this room, on this team, God, and even in Justin and Whitney and myself, God, complete the work that you've started. We thank you for it, and we can ask all these things in the authority of Jesus' name. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Come on, somebody. Amen. All right. Now sit down. The power of locking arms with the one to the left and to the right of you. Why do we sit around round tables? For relationship. I promise you, the people at your table will battle with you. This team will battle with you. There's something powerful. Did you see the strength difference just locking arms with my bride? And you imagine when the enemy looks at a herd of sheep and one's off wandering by itself. That's the one that's going to attack, is the one wandering by itself, right? But when you get balled up together in unity, one mind, one purpose, chasing the same God, based off of the same gospel truth, we are unstoppable. The gates of hell cannot prevail against the church. Guess what? We are the church. We are the church. So this protection we're talking about, quit walking around with your shield like this, hoping that you don't get hit, and lock arms with a brother and sister in your Christ, a brother or sister in your life, and begin to walk in numbers. Amen? Amen. Number five, the helmet of salvation. The helmet of salvation. And it says in 17, and take up the helmet of salvation. Salvation's definition is deliverance from the power and effects of sins. It's preservation from destruction or failure. When you preserve plants, when you preserve fruits and put them on the shelf, what are you doing? When you preserve them, you're protecting them, right? You're protecting them from the elements. We put preservatives in them and seal the lid real tight because we put them in a protective environment. That's what our salvation does. The helmet of salvation, when we put on a helmet, what's it protecting? The mind. Where does the enemy attack first? Right here. He's going to attack your thoughts. He's going to tell you that report from the doctor. It won't be good. It won't be good. That thought of there's no way. There's no way that you can find time to go to that retreat. There's no way you can pay for it. There's no way that you can be restored. There's no way God loves you. There's no way God has a purpose and a plan for your life. See, the enemy's going to attack here because if he can get it brewing here, and if he can ever get it down here, he'll begin to try to change your identity. So God wants to stop it here. We cannot control what comes here, but we can control what we do with it. And I'm fixing to show you how. God gave me this revelation in the lobby this morning talking to one of our deacons. Have you ever noticed how the lies that come into our head change, right? If he can't get you with, he tried to get me with divorce. Well, we corrected that. So now he tries something else, right? Ray, has he tried different things on you? What about you, Justin Keezer? Has he tried anything different on you? Michael, does he tell you the same lie over and over? Oh, wow, you might recognize it, right? Does he change it up a little bit, Daniel? Why does he have to do that? It's because he's going to try to come at different angles to mess with our mind, because he's never going to stop trying to steal, kill, and destroy you. Here's the great thing about it. Well, how do we protect us from that? This right here is called the unchanging word. If this isn't one of the most powerful statements you've ever heard, I don't know what is. This never changes, yet it refutes and destroys every lawful thought that the enemy tries to bring in your mind. But this never has to change. You don't have to go get a new gospel. You don't have to go get a new Bible. You don't have to go find a new God to overcome that lie that enemy has given you. This same word destroys the lies of the enemy, no matter how twisted they come in, how different they may look. The word of God never changes. It's complete. You don't have to add nothing to it, and you can't take away from it. So how do I control this? When it comes into your mind, if it does not line up with the unchangeable truth, it's not of God. Do not accept it. That's the power of reading the word. And so now we have the helmet of salvation. Our mind's protected. We have the breastplate of righteousness. We're walking around with the shield of faith. Our breastplate is tied to the belt of truth. Our kallugas, the sandals of peace, are tied up our legs. And there was a string that come up and tied it to the belt. So when we wake up in the morning, how do we live protected? Number one, we're going to wake up and we're going to give God praise, right? Number two, we're going to operate in truth. This truth. Whatever this word says, we're not going to wake up and say today's going to be a terrible day. We're going to wake up and say that this is the door that the Lord, that this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice in it. That's a truth. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are. It can be a good day because Jesus says so. That's a truth. Now we've run that through truth. And now we get to walk out this thing called righteousness. And I get to go out into my everyday life doing my ordinary things, what the Bible talks about, and use my normal things for the glory of God. And I'm going to do that by operating in righteousness. So now I have this breastplate on. My heart's protected. I'm operating with the belt of truth, and I've been down and taken a deep breath because I got to when I tie my shoes sometimes. And I've tied up these sandals, and I've tied them to the belt, and I'm digging in these cleats of peace and saying, I know that I'm in a storm. The day you were born, you begin to be in a battle. The day you were born. Well, what do you mean by that? One of our first battles is to try to roll over. Then we're trying to crawl. Then we're trying to walk or trying to speak. Or spitting food out and battling mama by shoving that green bean puree, English pea puree down my throat. This is healthy. I don't like it. That's why I'm not spitting at you. It's a battle. Right? Listen, we were born into a battle. Don't let that scare you. As a kid going to school, they're battling, whether they know it or not, to find their identity and identify with kids, right? You take a new job. Nobody's taking a new job and walking there and been like, everybody's walked in with nerves. Have to move to a new town, move to a new school, new relationship, whatever it may be. Every one of us are in a battle. That battle may be as small as trying to figure out how to roll over, and that battle may be big enough to say, I'm fighting for my life right now. The same armor covers all of it. The battle, it doesn't matter how high, how tough the battle is. All God sees that battle is an opportunity. It's an opportunity. God doesn't look at the size of the battle. Why? Because he's already won. We're victorious. He just wants us to be protected in this battle, so he gives us this armor to walk in protection. Because, listen, encounter, Debbie Tins, You know what you get to do in the morning? You get to wake up knowing the score because you're victorious. It's one. All you got to do is put on your armor and go about your day tomorrow and be protected. We don't have to wake up worried and wondering, how am I going to battle through? How am I going to make it through the day? Some of y'all are in here just wondering, how am I going to make it through next week? I see you shaking your heads. How am I going to get through next week? God said, put this on, and I will walk you through it. Put on your helmet of salvation. Gird up your feet with the sandals of peace. Put on your breastplate of righteousness. Cinch that belt of truth down tight. Grab that shield of faith and burrow up inside and lean against the everlasting arm of Jesus Christ. And we're going to walk through this thing together. That should excite somebody in here tonight. Because guess what? I'm not asking you to get up and go battle tomorrow. I'm just asking you to get up and be protected. Let's walk in the protection of Jesus Christ. Amen? Amen. Amen. And the last one is the sword of the Spirit. Oh. And the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The sword of the Spirit is the only piece of armor that is an offensive weapon. The sword of the Spirit is the Word of God, the Bible. Our natural approach to fighting will not work. You cannot fight COVID with your fist. No more than you can fight a spiritual battle with your fist or your feet. Bruce Lee couldn't do it. And that's why God said, He said, here, I don't. You're not in a position to fight and win. You're not. The devil is stronger than we are. Hear me. The enemy that we battle is way, way bigger than we are. Rightfully so. But the God that calls us his son, the one that put his foot on the neck of that enemy, says, because you're mine, you're victorious. And I'm going to use my word, the Bible. This is the reason I sent this to you. I sent this to you to slay your enemy. You want to know why it's important to have the word of God in your heart? It's so that we can slay the enemy. It's not so you can be some great teacher. Yeah, that helps. It's not so you can lead a class. It is so you can destroy the spiritual battle, these strongholds, these generational hand-me-downs, this junk in our life that the enemy has piled up on us. The only thing that's going to refute this is this double-edged sword. Look what Hebrews 4 and 12 says. It says, for the word of God is alive and active, sharper than any double-edged sword. It penetrates even to dividing soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and the attitudes of the heart. There is no double-edged samurai sword in the world that is sharper than this right here. And when the believers of Jesus, when the little soldiers and the sons and daughters of Jesus Christ gets this word sitting ready in their heart and steady upon their lips, and we can refute the enemy's lies with the word, he cannot stand against it. He can't stand against this. This is the greatest weapon you'll have in your house. But do not hide it in a gun case. You hide it in your heart. You hide it in your heart. This is why time with Jesus is so important. This is why studying the manual of life and pursuing the gospels and the good news of what Jesus Christ has done for us, because the word says when the battle comes, when that day comes, it's coming. Some of you are in it. Some of you have been in it. There's going to be some more battles. Why walk into those battles and get beat up? Why not let's start walking in this thing called victory? Amen? Let's walk in a little bit of victory encounter. Let's put this protective coating on. And let's wake up tomorrow. No. Let's leave here tonight saying, I am because he did. I am because he did. I am protected because he did. I am strong because he did. I am saved. I am sanctified. I am called. I am anointed. I am appointed because of what he did. And I am victorious because of what he did. That's how we get to walk. That's the battle we're fighting. All right? The battle we're fighting is won. Let's put on the protective coating and watch God do what only He can do and slay our enemies and prepare a table. Prepare a table for us in front of our enemies. Amen? Now we're going to jump into this last part of spiritual authority. See, the armor of God's great. But when you truly know who gave you that armor and whose armor it is, and when you're hanging on the breastplate of righteousness, the helmet of salvation, and the belt of truth, and you're putting all of this on, and you know that the breastplate of righteousness comes from Jesus Christ, and your position where you stand, it changes. It changes our perception of this armor. Look at here. Some fast facts on spiritual authority. Number one. Authority is the power or right to give orders, make decisions, and enforce obedience, and to act in a specific way, specified way. Number two, Jesus is the ultimate and final authority over the enemy. We talked about this, the completion of the cross last week. He defeated death, hell, and the grave when He died and rose again. There's your victory statement. He defeated death, hell, and the grave. Those are the only three things. That's it. Death, hell, and the grave. Those are the things. That's where we were destined to. And it says that He defeated them. If He defeated them, it doesn't say He has to keep defeating them. Once God defeats something, He does it in completion. It is done. So death in the hell and grave has no authority over your life no more. Amen. Number three. It says, when we put our faith and trust in Him and His finished work, we gain access to all He has. Woo! Access to all He has. My children, I don't have much, but they have access to everything I have. Listen, my kids do not have to ask me to open the refrigerator. They just do it. They do not have to ask me to cook them a meal, I just do it. They do not have to ask me to take care of them, I just do it. My kids don't say, Daddy, will you please make sure I have clothes for school? I just do it. My kids have access to my finances. They have access to my protection, my strength, my endurance, my wife, me, my families, my house, everything that we own, my kids have access to. And that's great. And that gets them a little place. But when we put our faith and trust in Him, who's Him? Jesus and His finished work, we gain access to all that is His. What is all that's God? What belongs to God and Jesus? Everything. I just told y'all that we have access to everything underneath the reign of Jesus. Come on. We have, yeah. Where are we at tonight, Encounter? We have access. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross and He yelled, Tetelestai, it is finished, the veil was torn. That veil is what kept us out of the presence of God. If you knew the religious things you had to do to go into the presence of God, none of us would have been able to do it. Imagine when you got ready to pray and go in the presence of God, Ray, I had to tie a rope around your foot, and if you weren't in the purest form, it would kill you. The presence of God had to drag you out. That's what they did. When Jesus Christ died upon the cross, that veil was ripped so that we can come into full access and presence of Jesus Christ, the living God. That's what we have. We have access to the Creator. We have access to the Redeemer. We have access to the One that saved us from the pits of hell. And we do not have to ask permission. I don't have to ask permission to gain access and to climb up in the lap of my Father. I don't have to ask nobody. I definitely don't have to ask the foe, can I walk in victory today? I don't wake up. I had somebody say this morning, he says, aren't you tired of getting bullied by the devil? I don't get bullied by the devil. He can't bully me because of what my Father did. He may thump me just a little bit, but you can't bully somebody that's won. You can't bully somebody that's sitting in the presence of God. You can't bully that. Listen, we're not going to get bullied. We are overcomers. Amen. encounter. We are warriors. We are battlers. We are overcomers of the things in our life because of what Jesus did. And I refuse to allow the enemy to steal that life from us anymore. We're not going to. He cannot have that victory because it belongs to our Father, and I have access to it. I have access to the victory. I have access to His playbook. Right here. I have access to His playbook. I have access to the gift of life. And I don't have to ask anybody permission. And nobody can take it away from me. They may take everything I've ever earned and obtained in this world, but they cannot steal the word and the love of Christ out of my life. They cannot take the victory God has done for me. The blood of Jesus was not just for our salvation, but it was for our access, so that we may have access. I'm going to knock my pages off. Number four, Jesus has given us all of His authority to use here on earth. Listen to what Matthew 28 says. And Jesus came and spoke to them saying, "All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth." Jesus says, God give me all authority on heaven and earth. That means if it exists, buddy, I control it. Look what He says. Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations. Come on, somebody. Jesus Christ is telling the disciples, go forth. I got all the authority. I got all the authority in heaven, hell, on the earth. Go forth with my authority. He says, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of age. So if anybody told you that the power of the Holy Spirit died with the disciples, it's a lie. The power of the Holy Spirit is alive and well, and the same one that turned the water to wine, the same one that walked on water, the same one that resurrected from the grave is the same one living inside of us today. And that is where we get our victory from. That's where our protection comes from. We're not just talking about a football helmet of salvation, guys. We're talking about an eternal helmet. A helmet that protects us for eternity. These are eternal gifts. Eternal armor. We need to understand where our armor comes from. Number five. It says we access the authority against the enemy by knowing Jesus and using His name. My kids can walk up to a bully at school, I can tell you this right now. And if them kids picking on my kids knew who their daddy really was, they wouldn't mess with my babies. Because all my daddy's got to say is Justin, Daddy, I got an enemy. I've been there. I done had that call. You don't mess with my babies. Do not mess with my babies. God says the same thing. He says, don't you mess with mine. And he says, we access His authority against the enemy by knowing Jesus and using His name. All we got to do is call His name. Listen, do you know that it says when you speak the name of Jesus that the demons shiver? They shake. They shiver. They cannot reside in the name of Jesus. Before the people even knew who Jesus was, He'd walk up and there'd be demons and they'd say, "You're the Son of God. You're the Son of Man." They recognized Him before the people did because they know Him and they know His capability and they know what He'd done. They know who He was. When they see you as a son and a daughter of the Most High God, I promise you, they say, "Well, hang on a second. That one is covered with blood. Of the blood of the Lamb. That one's covered. That one's protected. If we're going to attack Him, we got to be just a little bit more clever. Be as clever as you want, because all we got to do is one thing. Jesus. Jesus. Do you know how many times I've sat in my truck and in my car on the brink of not wanting to live, and just the only thing I can get out of my mouth is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. It's the only thing. And it would lift. If you're in here tonight and you're saying, "I don't know how to pray. I don't know what to say." One word. Get in that place and just call out to the name of Jesus, because the enemy cannot reside. He cannot operate in the presence of God. And when we climb up in the lap of our Savior and our Daddy, He cannot operate in those realms. And it's just the simple name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Power. He says in John 14, He says, "Very truly I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing." Any of y'all believe in Jesus in here tonight? Well, if you don't think you're called to serve and to be game changers and world changers, you listen to this scripture. You hear me? If you don't think you're called to change the atmosphere of heaven by spreading the gospel, listen to this scripture. It says, "Very true, I tell you, whoever believes in me will do the works I've been doing, and they will do even greater things than these, because I am going to the Father. And I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it." If that scripture don't get you fired up, come on, He's saying, if you believe in me, you're going to do greater things than I did. And the reason why is because I'm going to the Father. And when you need it, you need that power. When that enemy's knocking on your door and you need that power, you call out to the name of Jesus and you got the authority that you need. You got the victory that you need. It's in His name, people. It's in His name. Emmanuel, Jesus, Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, He's my banner. Jehovah Rapha, He's my healer. He's my provider. Come on, guys. The power of the name of Jesus changes everything. And He has called to us just because we believe to do greater things than He did. He walked on water and did miracles. Guess what? There is miracle power working blood in all of us. And if anybody tells you different, they're lying. Because my Father says so. My Father says so. Number six, we'll wrap this up. What Jesus did during His earthly ministry, His name now does through us. And He said, He called the 12 and began to send them out by two and gave them authority over the unclean spirits. Because of who Jesus Christ is, because of who we are, all right, because of who we are, quit thinking. If you're thinking tonight, if you're still thinking who I am is not enough, that is stinking thinking. You need to transform it to kingdom thinking and say, you know what? I am not enough on my own, but in Jesus Christ, I am perfectly and wonderfully made because of His name. During His earthly ministry, His name now does through us. We do not operate anymore off the power of Justin Lindsay, Whitney Lindsay, Zane Adams. We don't operate off of your name. You don't operate. When you operate from your position of your name, you will be annihilated. But when you say, "I'm Jennifer Kugler, daughter to the King," now you're operating in authority. That's authority. When you say, "I am Keely, daughter of the Most High, and I have a purpose and a plan for my life," the enemy cannot refute that. He cannot take away what was given to you. We didn't earn it. It was given to us. Encounter. What God's wanting us to do is take our ordinary, normal lives, wrap them up in protection, and protect our mind through the helmet of salvation, protect our heart through the breastplate of righteousness, protect our lives in the way we walk and hold it together with the belt of truth. And He wants us to stand firmly and gird our feet with the gospels of the sandals of peace. And He wants us to raise our shield with brothers and sisters alike and walk in this thing victoriously and slay the enemy with the word of God and say, "I can because He did." It's His word. Say, you don't have to try to convince me because my God says this. My God says this. That is where our authority comes from. No matter if you leave tonight and say, "I just can't make that retreat." Guess what? That authority doesn't change. God wants you to take what you've experienced and you've learned in this class And he doesn't want you to leave it at that door. He wants you to take it out there and be game changers. He wants you to go out two by two and change this community and your family and your kids and your personal life and your professional life. And he wants you to do it with the name of Jesus. And when you leave from here tonight, just know that if you're willing to get up and put on this thing called the armor of God, you can begin to walk protected. You can begin to walk protected. I've lived my life too long exposed. Too vulnerable in the sense of walking by myself thinking that I was covered enough underneath my own shield. And then when I begin to understand the power of my wife and my friends and my family in this church praying for me, I begin to see, you know what? This power that runs through this thing called community changed my life. It's why I stand up here and do this every chance I get an opportunity. It's not because I think people want to hear what I have to say. It's because I believe in the power of numbers and community. And when you get a group of people that are like-minded together and for the same purpose and the same plan, and that's living for Jesus, you're unstoppable. And I want to partner and lock arms with each and every one of you in here tonight. And say, you know what, enemy, no more. No more. I want to battle with you. We want to battle with you. We want to serve with you. We want to pray with you. And we want to be able to rejoice with you. I'm so proud of this class. I'm so proud of how far y'all have come. If you could see it from my perspective of day one, you could hardly even settle in your seats. And now you're soaking this up like a spiritual sponge. And it's because God's got some great things for this class. God's doing some unique works in each and every one of you. And every one of you in here have an opportunity to take it out there. To take it in these halls of Timber Creek and make a difference. I want to pray over y'all, and then I'm going to turn it over to Zane. But I want to pray a little different tonight. We've talked about protection. We talked about authority. And there is an element to praying these battle prayers. And there is nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. But when we begin to identify the name of Jesus in certain areas of our life, something begins to transform. When we begin to pray protective hedges about our children, it doesn't just protect our children, it protects our heart, because we know who's in control, right? There's been times I've left and went to work in the morning and forgot to pray at my doorstep, and I had to turn around and pray. Not because I was scared something was going to happen, but because the peace, Zane, that come in my life when I stood in the doorway of that house and prayed protection over my family and released them to my Father so that they could walk in that protected bubble, it does something to me. So I'm just going to pray real quick over this class, and I'm going to pray for y'all like I pray at my house and I pray over my family. And I just want to show you what God shows me and what works for me. Okay, I just ask you to bow your heads. Father, I come to you tonight. First of all, I thank you for this class. I thank you for their tenacious pursuit, God, of change and deeper relationship with you. And God, I thank you that you have given us this amazing thing called the armor of God that we get to clothe ourselves in. And God, as I begin our week, God, I pray, God, that you cover my mind with the helmet of salvation. And God, that you protect my heart with the breastplate of righteousness. And God, that I operate in truth as I walk through my week. And God, I pray that you gird up the sandals of peace. And God, I pray that your protective shield and your word be upon my family. God, I pray the blood of Jesus pour out over my kid's life. I pray protection over my wife's mind, her eyes, her ears, and her heart, Lord. And God, I pray that as my babies grow up, God, that you, God, condition their mind to pursue truth, to pursue righteousness, to pursue peace. In this upside down world, God, and I just pray that your shield covers him, that your word covers him. And God, I pray that as the attacks and the flaming darts of the enemy fly at our daily lives, God, I pray that I connect with the right brother and sister and lock arms with the right brother and sister, God, that I may distinguish the flaming darts. And God, I pray that you put someone in my life today that needs to hear the gospel. God, you didn't call me to keep this to myself. I pray that you put someone in my path today that is desperate to hear the good news of Jesus. Send me, God, I'll go. Send me, I'll go. And God, as I go, I pray that I take up the word of God, the sword of the Spirit, God, and that as it rests in my heart and it sets ready upon my lips, God, that I can speak truth. God, that I'm reminded of righteousness and that I walk in peace. And God, that I operate in faith, knowing that you have a plan that you started in me, God, and you're going to see it finished. And you have a plan for my babies that you started and you're going to see it finished. And God, you have a plan for everybody in this room tonight that you started and you're going to see it finished. I pray for this class. I pray for their heart. I pray for their minds. I pray for their soul, their spirit. God, I pray over their finances, their families. God, I pray that your spirit is so alive them when they leave this class that they cannot contain the joy of Christ. God, and I pray that they take what you showed them in this class. And God, that they use it for a platform for their testimony to tell that brother or sister in their life, let me tell you what Jesus has done in mine. I pray protection over them. I pray favor over them. And I just thank you for this amazing opportunity, God, to be your mouthpiece, but most of all, God, to experience you more in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to call Zane up here. Before we do this, I know we're just a little bit behind time. Encounter team, I want you to stand up, please. I just ask y'all, I'm fixing to hand the mic over. If y'all would, y'all just give them a round of applause, please. They have prayed and battled for this class weeks before it started. And I promise you they're going to continue to pray and battle through the retreat and beyond. I just want to let each and every one of you know, I love you. I love this class and thank y'all for what you do. Okay?
Hey, stay standing. Stay standing. Stay standing, guys. Stand standing. Stay standing. I know you just want to sit down that quick. Stand firm, right? Isn't that what we just learned? Stand firm. Real quick, I would like everybody in the class to stand up real quick. Everybody stand up. Come on. Everybody in the house. Okay. I want to say this. You made it, right? Congratulations. Let's put your hands together. You've made it through Encounter. You all deserve that hand clap. You all have been so generous with your time. You've shared it with us. You could have spent time with your family, with your friends, watching football, on the deer stand, you know, a million other things, right? And yet you chose to be here, and we thank you. We thank you sincerely from the bottom of our hearts. I know I won't leave this place the same person. I know nobody else will either because God has started a work in you and he is going to finish it, right? So big kudos to y'all. Thank you so much for coming. Man, this has just been an awesome class. Real quick, yes. I was just about to get there. Okay. All right, so 7.5, can we split the, no, okay. We'll start off in 5. Real quick, I'm going to pray you out, and Yeah, you guys, thank you so much again. Father God, we thank you for the truth that we were taught tonight and through this class, God, the truth that there is an enemy out there, and he is the father of lies, and he is doing his very best to control our thoughts, but we are your son, we are your daughter, and the enemy has no power over us, God. That knowledge and knowing that you are our Father, that is the power that we need to conquer the enemy, to undergo tribulation, and be of good cheer, as you say, Father. We thank you for the deliverance and restoration of this class and what it's done to each and every one of our lives, Father. And we also thank you for the protection of the armor that you give us, God, that you gave us access to, that we choose to put on. You don't put it on us. You give it to us, and we make the conscious and willful decision to put that on every single day so that way we can stand firm in knowing that you have claimed the victory, Father. We thank you for that. We give you all the praise and the glory and the honor, and we say it in Jesus' name, amen. Amen.